It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And let me just do this and this. And then welcome in our guests in the center studio. Hello, Ann. Hello, Cynthia.
Howdy.
Hello, Marshall.
We've got to bring Ann into the same room as the microphone.
Here I am.
There she is. And we'll also welcome in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how are you all doing this morning?
So great.
Yeah, what a great morning. It really is. Yeah. You know, now, unfortunately, when I get up and get out of the house, you don't have that feeling as like when you do, and you guys can come out and it's 60 some and it's sunny and there's, you know, it's sunny.
Yeah.
I go out and first thing I do is it's still dark,
but
I look for the bears.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I do. Then I go to the car. All right. A big story here that I've been following, and you know what? You're the first one that has actually written as a newspaper the long form story on this. And this is a suit against North Canaan by Metcalf, which. When I first heard about the story, I said to myself, geez, this has got to lead to a suit.
Yeah. This is like the plot of a movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories about like a small town and lots of simmering resentment. And so over in, I would call it like the East Canaan area, there's a lot of quarries back there. Ben Metcalf, who's got those great billboards and actually advertises in the Lakeville Journal, and does a lot of paving around here. He just paved the Le Bon's parking lot and wanted to do some processing of the asphalt on that property there, and came to the PNZ and they rejected his application. They wouldn't even accept it. They refunded his application fee and just said, we're not even, like, they wouldn't even let his lawyer speak. And the lawyer, like, really had steam coming out of his ears. It was one of the quickest, like, I got there 5 minutes late and I missed it. I blinked. So everybody kept saying, this isn't over yet. And so the reason why they had rejected the application was they said, this is not a permitted use in the town of Canaan. And so Metcalf and his lawyer are coming back and saying, we've already got permission to do this. We were just looking for permission for the building itself. So it's as these zoning things tend to be quite complex and a lot of emotion from the neighboring property owner. So we'll see how it turns out.
Well, the bad thing about this is that, and this is where, and there's, these are good people that serve on these commissions. They really are. But just to be on the safe side, you should always let an attorney speak at a meeting when they want to speak.
Yeah.
Because they
were advised by their attorney not to let the attorney speak.
Yeah, well, you never stifle somebody who wants an opposing opinion because that then becomes part of the lawsuit the next time around. It's not just about the asphalt. It's about the fact that we weren't even allowed to speak.
Yeah, that's what happened with the Indian Mountain School lawsuit, too. The new one is they pretended that nothing had happened.
Yeah. You have to look ahead on these things. And like I said, I'm not faulting the board.
No.
These are good people.
And that was the attorney's advice.
They're good people trying to do their job, and it's tough. So, I'm not faulting them at all. Now let's go to something else, and that is the Morris men did make their yearly invasion to our area.
And now for something completely different. Patrick Sullivan walked into the office, and you know the Morris dancers. It's one of those things that happens every year, and it gets tired after a while. And Patrick and I have both been doing it for so long that we're both kind of like, oh, the Morris dancers here. But he walked in the office and he goes, oh, I haven't covered the Morris dancers in like 7-8 years. I guess I'll do it this year, which was very generous of him. And he wrote a really funny story because he hadn't done it in a long time. And he took a ton of really good photos. So a nice, lively little story in the Patrick Sullivan manner about the Morris men.
The thing I always like about the Morris dancers is the way they come into Falls Village.
The procession.
And then when they get in the town, after a dance, this is terrible, after a dance or two, I slink away.
Yeah. And when you slink, that's something.
It's kind of listening to Bolero. The first time you hear it, it's a great song. But after that, after about 3 minutes, you just turn it off.
Well, I mean, they've been dancing all day. Give them a break.
Okay.
It used to be that every year when they would, because they always, they dance all over the area, and then they meet in Falls Village, and they do the parade into the center of town. I used to be able to time when the thunderstorm would start. It would be like by the third. Yeah. So we had great weather for it again this year.
All right.
Where are they from?
They come from New York State, Connecticut, and Massachusetts.
There are different clubs.
They're all over.
The Bowery Boys are from New York. There's this club in Great Barrington that now comes down.
And it's in the article. Patrick actually got all of their different cities of origin.
All right. You've got the head of Marvelwood School retiring.
My daughter, as I often say on the show, went to Marvelwood and had a great experience there. And part of the great experience was Arthur Goodearl, who came in after Scott Potbecker and really did a lot to transform the school and upgrade it and bring up the student body and really tighten up the curriculum. And he is retiring after 7 years, which is, I think, a loss. And when you look at that photo, he looks very severe, but he's not. He's the most friendly, nice guy. So I'm not really quite sure what was going on with that photo. But Blythe Everett, who is a well-known local actress, she's in the Sherman Playhouse Players, and just a delight, and has been there since Marvelwood was a tiny little school in Cornwall. And we're, you know, so small that the kids were living in people's houses and coming to school from people's houses. And then they moved up to Kent to what was at that time the girls' wing of the Kent School. And they took that over. And that, I think the property was built in the 60s. I have it in the article. But one of the last things that Mr. Goodearl is doing before he leaves is they got funding in place. They're renovating all the dormitories. They're putting a new dorm, a new roof on the performing arts building. So a lot's still happening and a lot for Blythe Everett to step into as she takes over as interim head of school and possibly eventually head of school.
I just wanted to know what you were doing before that picture, because I saw that stare many a time from Mr. Alto at Housatonic Valley Regional High School when I was sent to his office, as if to say, all right, what's the deal here now?
And I said to him, like, you look very severe. And he's like, yeah, that's good. I was like, okay, head of school. Because, like, when you talk to him, he's so relaxed and easygoing.
All right, you've got a list of the graduations to the left. And also,
coming up,
you've got the Winsted Group opposes state college plan.
So it's the Winsted Community Bookstore, which is, of course, owned by the Nader family. And speaking out about plans for the consolidation of the state colleges and the community colleges, of which there are 12 and of which Northwest Connecticut Community College is one. Still a lot of negotiation going back and forth about what's the best way to save that school system. You know, and of course, it's real for us here because they did close down our Torrington branch of UConn, which, in my opinion, was a great little school for local kids. So really keeping a careful eye on this.
All right. And the literary notebook from Bernie Drew.
It's really interesting. You know, it's nice when our kids grow up and they entertain us. And so they went to visit their daughter, Darcy, who's up in Maine. And she put together a fun weekend of activities. And, you know, Bernie's very quiet, but he's got a million interests. And so she figured out what would be fun for them. And one of the things they did involved a writer named John Connolly, who writes thrillers. But what Bernie's mostly writing about in this column is a biography that Connolly did of Stan Laurel from Laurel and Hardy.
All right. Now, when I turn the page and I look on the story on Lyndon Miller by Alexander Wilburn and the pictures, you know, over the past 2 years, I've done incredible things in front of my house by putting plants and stuff like that. And then I look at these pictures and I say, why?
More work to do.
Why are you bothering?
I have a friend who said to me, like, oh, are you a gardener? And I was like, no. But you know, I'm in my garden all the time. I've got a ton of plants, but it's not like, no, you know, this is a whole different.
This is a whole other level.
So these incredible photos by Ann Day, the very talented Ann Day, and who was nice enough to go to the Books and Blooms garden tour in Cornwall, which is really one of their big events of the year. And of course, Cornwall is very gardeny, but not all of these are Cornwall gardens. But they had Lyndon Miller, who's been very generous about doing speeches at events in the last couple of years. And she's one of the really iconic public space gardeners of America.
And anytime you want to come and photograph the front of my house, you're more than welcome.
I love it.
That's actually a good series.
She's waiting for the bear.
Maybe it'll look a little bit better.
And I'll put a bunch of fake flowers in.
That's why I put some fog in there. You know, make it look.
Yeah, like, she'll use the filter.
Right.
She wants to see the bear. When you get the bear, she'll come back.
Okay. Let's go on to Bug Students and a Day in the Stream.
This is my moment to say, don't forget, people, that the Housatonic Valley Association does a ton of stuff around here, and it's growing and growing, and probably what I should do is a profile of them. They're very quietly in Cornwall, right near the Kent border, and they do a lot of programming for students, but they also do a lot of work on keeping an eye on building and development along the river and the river valley, the Housatonic River Valley, and a really great organization. So they had a day out for Cornwall Consolidated School kids and took them out bugging and planting in the river, looking for stuff to put in little jars and swish around, and a good time was had by all.
All right. Prohibition, why it continues to resonate today.
And so this, David Beiersdorfer, a former teacher at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and really one of those guys that really knows how to do it, and, you know, an actor, has been in some Sharon Playhouse productions, and a lovely guy. So again, Patrick Sullivan, who hadn't gone to a Tuesdays at 7 event in years because we keep sending the interns to them, just kind of said, it's like he's like a bear coming out of hibernation. He's like, oh, I'll go to Tuesdays at 7, which are always really interesting talks. So it's the first Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, or is it 6 or 7 these days? First Tuesdays at 7,
yeah.
At the beautiful white church at 63 and 7 in Falls Village. I should get the schedule for who else is giving talks. But David Beiersdorfer giving a really thorough, very interesting history of prohibition and talking, of course, about liquor being run across state lines. And those of us who are interested in Troop B, you can read in Discover Canaan, which is coming out in, a week, Janet? A week or two?
Yeah,
weeks?
Next week.
A little history of Troop B. And, of course, Troop B, part of what the reason why it was founded and part of the reason why it's on the state line is because of prohibition.
All right. I want to move to your next page because you've got a story out of Kent by concerns raised about Dover's Cricket Valley. And about 2 months ago, I had some people come here and they wanted to fight it. And I said, listen, the bus is left on the construction.
Yeah.
I said, you know, if you want to send me information on what you're going to do to regulate them and stuff in the future, I'll gladly put it on, put it on the air. But the bus has left the station. It's going to be constructed no matter what.
Well, what they keep saying is Mario Cuomo had stopped, I think it was the cement plant after it was already built, or some big edifice. And so they're hoping that they can convince the governor of New York to say, oh, no, we're going to stop this. But I think what they don't realize is that Mario Cuomo is the reason why they're building this power plant. So that's just not going to... Andrew Cuomo is the reason why they're building this power plant, because he had, from long before he was... the governor of New York, he was very opposed to the Indian Point nuclear plant for various reasons. And so he's finally got that to shut down. I think it's in 2020 that's going to finally close down. So that's 2,000 megawatts of power that they're losing. And so this new plant is going to be the way that they're replacing some of that power. It's going to produce 1,100. So a group of people from Kent came in. And I have to say, one of the Housatonic Valley Association people is one of the protesters. And I had said, Elaine LaBella and Tanya Shumatov were very involved from the very beginning in 2009 and did a lot of work to keep an eye on this and to help. I mean, of course, it's a power plant. Of course, there's going to be additional emissions. But people in Kent seem to feel like they've set it up in such a way that that it'll blow over into Connecticut and that they'll get all of the bad air and that New York is going to be clean. So this is a power plant that's regulated by the federal government. And they look at all of the states. They're not just saying, it's like, forget Connecticut. So this is my, obviously I'm very passionate about this. So I feel like, yes, there's always stuff to be worried about, but we're going to be doing a huge profile of exactly what's going on with this starting next week. And in fact, I'm going down to just walk around the site today just to confirm, because there's three different sites. And I want to say to people, the site that you think is where it's being built on the side of the road on 22 is not where it's being built. That's just the parking area. So that's going to be cleaned up. You're not going to see it.
It's below that. It's an amazing site. I've taken a look at it. You will absolutely, your jaw will drop.
Yeah. It is just staggering.
Your jaw
will drop. If you know anything about building, it's just mind-boggling.
I took the train up from New York last night, and when you can't see it on your way down, I don't think, but when you're coming back up on the train, or maybe it was just I wasn't looking in the right place, you can see the structure of the power plant being built, but I don't think you can see it from the road, but you can see it from the train.
But you can also see the big lines.
You can look down the road. Once you get there, your jaw will drop.
It's big.
You have to go look at the
site. It's very big.
They built an electronic tower that can hook into it when it's done.
Yeah.
It was built in 4 days, and it dwarfs any of the other towers you've ever seen. It's mind-boggling. And I think the smart thing that's going on here is now they're going to, when the plant opens up, they will make sure it meets EPA regulations.
It has to. Yeah.
They'll be super monitoring on it. That's the good thing about these meetings in Connecticut now.
Yes.
That will ensure that there'll be better monitoring after it's operating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a big story, though, and it has been a very big story.
Yeah.
All right. Blight.
Yeah, just two blight cases in Winston. And of course, we all are thinking about blight here in our northwest corner towns. And it's very hard to, as we found out, to have ordinances on blight and to control blight. And one person's blight is another person's, sofa on their porch. So these are two businesses, or I believe it's businesses. Sorry, it's been a couple days since I read this article. Anyway, read Shaw's article, but it's not quite as complex as the Blight conversations that are going on in Sharon. It's a little bit more straightforward.
All right. And a couple of other stories. The cancer survivors with Kayla Lawrence.
I'm going to let Ann talk about that.
Yes, Kayla was the featured speaker at the Cancer Survivors. It was their 17th annual event, which was organized by...
SVNA?
In any case, they always had... It's to celebrate surviving cancer, and lots of people in the community are there. There was fabulous food. There was a band playing music, and the featured speaker was Kayla Lawrence, who's a young, very young woman. It says in the story how old, I think. But she found out within a month, she found out she had cancer, and she found out she was pregnant. So she's one of 12 women in the United States who's been treated for cancer while pregnant. She went through chemo, and her baby was born. She's healthy, and Kayla is cancer-free, and she now works at SVNA.
It's a great story.
I know those little both of them, and I know Claudia is just gorgeous. She's 3 years old, and she's completely healthy.
All right. And how about the landfill that might make power for Canaan?
Somebody came to the town of Cornwall, and they said, or North Canaan, and said, what if we took some of... you know, because of course there's all of our towns used to have landfills, now we have transfer stations, and they said, what if we took solar panels and just put them on top of that property, and we wouldn't have to do any digging, we wouldn't have to disturb anything. So that's a possibility. It's not only a source of electric, of clean electric, but also a way to make money for the town.
And also out of Canaan, the public is now invited to review the town plan.
The town plan is a huge big deal, and I always say this to people, and everybody, their eyes glaze over when they look at me, but the reason our towns look the way that they look is because of the town plans of conservation and development. Christian Allen, who is a selectman now and is very young, just graduated from UConn, very full of excitement about being municipally involved. His father is the chairman of the PNZ, and so... Christian has been revising the town plan for the last couple of years. So they're presenting it, and really people should go because it's these zoning regulations that make your town look the way it looks.
All right. Now you've got, I'm almost as stunned as this is when they started to build the jail. Bidding is to begin for the transfer station.
I know, right? You know what? I've just realized we had that landfill could make solar power twice.
Yeah.
And geez, this is not my most awake closing, I guess. Yes, so we have the bidding is finally starting to begin for the Salisbury Sharon Transfer Station, and there's a lot of activity over at the house on the property, but it looks like things are quietly moving forward.
All right, and then you've got the bend being discussed.
Right, and again, Housatonic Valley Association, very active in that. In Cornwall, the bend is one of the really showcase parts of the Housatonic River in Cornwall, and yeah.
All right, and then the sports page, you've got the athletic awards from Hoosie. The track season, and cricket is returning to Salisbury.
Week from this Saturday at the what used to be called the Patco Field. Now it's being called the renovated Patco Field. Actually, that Patco's coming along. Yeah. It's looking really good. So, again, the Shillingfords are hosting not only a day of cricket, but also kids' games and lemonade and stuff like that. It's always really, really fun. And if you want to play cricket, they would be happy to have you come, and they'll teach you how to play.
All right. We will move on to the editorial page right now. Housing initiatives, that's the line there you've got going, Janet.
That's right. We, of course, this comes to the fore of our attention every so often, and because Kent and Salisbury have the end and the beginning of affordable housing units being built, we thought it was a good time to talk about it. So we remind our readers about Mary Close Oppenheimer's more than 20-column series on affordable housing and the lack of it and the effects on people who try to live in this area, which was really excellent. Go to our website, tricornernews.com, to read that. And think about it. So that's what we're talking about, and we have many different letters. Don't miss Jim Britz, who is a Salisbury resident. I think a lot of our readers know, who spent a lot of time in Guatemala, is there now, and is looking for help for volcano victims. And good columns from Pam Vogel, our superintendent at Region 1, talking about preparation for life at school. Phil Truax on 4 minutes for Tears, Joy, and Shared Humanity at the Mexican border, something that wasn't covered very widely, but he caught it. So did I. And Virgin Frangian on Looking for Common Ground.
All right. I want to go to the Patrick Sullivan story very quickly on the Civic Life Project. Once again, the Filmworks Forum and Salisbury Forum getting together at the movie house for those incredible films.
Right. Students from all over talking about, you know, part of the point of students of Civic Life is not just to teach them how to make films, but also to learn to express their opinions and to be engaged in civic discourse.
They did the film on Region 1. It took them a week to film it, put it together, and the final product was blew me away. Yeah. And it was all done by students.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew me away.
Fantastic project that's been going on for a while, and so many good things come out of that.
And it's very sad. I love the pictures of Housatonic Valley Regional High School students, but when I was in school, there was like five pages of pictures.
Yeah, that's not the senior prom. They used to have this a year. They would have the high school seniors come over, and they would have a senior prom with the – actually, it's not even seniors. It's a fall.
Yeah, well, anyways.
Yeah, so what Marshall is saying, and so everybody knows, we do have photos of the graduating seniors from Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Take a look at them. It's a special year for them, you know, leaving school, going out into the world. Always nice to see those kids and how they look at the end of their high school life.
All right. I remember when they took my picture, they always told you, don't wear stripes. So what did I do?
Wore stripes.
I wore stripes.
Well, I don't think, you
rebel.
Know, not
such
these
rebel,
kids'
Marshall.
High school pictures are great, but the rest of us, not so great.
Anyways, I had to go back without stripes and take pictures. So I wore a black shirt with a black tie.
Okay, well, we want to see that. Could you post that for us, please?
I posted it on Facebook before. I look like a mafioso kid.
Well,
all right.
Thank God for you and Facebook.
That's right. Yeah. Let us move on forward. It is time for
Compass. Okay, so it's strawberry time, finally. It's a little late this year, but I think we'll all be rewarded. I went to Ellsworth Hill to try to get pictures, and there were not that many strawberries, but there are just acres and acres of fields where you will be able to pick your own, and I'm sure they're going to be perfect by now. I went last week, so right now he's the farmer, whose name I can't remember, said that it'll be ready by this weekend. And there's also McEnroe Farm is having a strawberry festival. There's a strawberry festival. I heard you talk about it on the radio this morning, Marshall. Somewhere else. There's also one in there's a place to pick in Ankrum. In my story, I mention all the places where you can pick and ways to treat strawberries after you pick them. Here's something I learned, which I didn't know, is that you should never wash the strawberries until you're about to eat them. Because if you wash them and stick them in the fridge, it'll make them mushy. So that's a nice fact to remember. And there's also some tips on how to pack them and freeze them if you have too many to eat. Okay, the music, we have Aston Magna is going to be playing several concerts starting on June 22nd in Hudson, June 23rd in Great Barrington, and then June 29th at Wethersfield Gardens in Amenia, which is a lovely place to go to a concert. Then we have, by Leon Graham, we have a movie review of Paul Schrader's latest movie with Ethan Hawke about a minister who is visited by the wife of a parishioner, and she's worried because her husband is an environmental activist and believes that it's not right to have children and bring children into the world. Anyway, you can read Leon's review. He wasn't crazy about the movie, but I must say that it has like a 98% good rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So you can believe Rotten Tomatoes or you can believe Leon.
You've got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, we have a fabulous play, which is in Rhinebeck, Fun Home. Leon says it's the very best play that's been in our community ever, in his experience. Marsden wrote a beautiful tribute to Anthony Bourdain and gives a recipe for making chicken. And we have a show in Washington, a photo show. And that's about all I can tell you. And also Spring Awake, Anything Goes is opening at the Sharon Playhouse this weekend.
Tomorrow,
Friday. Tomorrow's
the first day.
I'm going. Everybody should go.
Anything Goes.
Anything goes, indeed.
All right. And we'll all go to Anything Goes.
Anyone
We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. More, of course, information in the newspaper at newsstands or home delivery or tricornernews.com and also on Facebook.